One topic I think that's pretty important for us, that is something we've been focusing on, is just optimization. So if you write your own applications, it's something that you have full control over, then by going back and taking a look at your application and seeing whether certain algorithms can be optimized, we are finding that there's potentially massive savings there, right? Because if we can take our code and optimize it and maybe make it run 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50% faster, what that does is it saves us 20, 30, 40, 50% on our infrastructure or cloud hosting costs. So I think it's something that everyone should kind of be taking a look at, from at least the executive should be taking a look at it from that perspective, because it's pretty powerful.
Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
Hi, I'm Nadisha Ranasingha. I'm the VP of Offer Engine Development here at Excellia.
Nate, thanks so much for finding time to join us on the Ivy Podcast today. We're glad to connect with you at the beginning of the year, start of the new period, try to put the whole pandemic, everything behind us. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, about your background, and then I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about what you're currently working on.
Sure. And thanks, John, for hosting me here. Sincerely do hope 2021 is going to be completely different from 2020. I can tell you from travel industry perspective, that's where we work in the travel space. We are seeing things, getting a little bit better, but it's a long road to recovery, I think, for us, just in terms of, getting everyone comfortable with flying, getting business travel back to where it needs to be. But we're optimistic that 2021 starts that journey for us. So my background, really, I'm kind of all over the place. I just like technology, but I really was specializing in database, specifically Microsoft SQL Server back in the day. That's when I joined Farelogix as a database administrator. And then shortly thereafter, I took over the IT department, responsible for everything disaster recovery, data center, network, all of those operations, our help desk. And then finally, about a couple of years ago, I took over the Offer Engine development team. So we do all of our development is C++, high performance processing for airline engines. And it's been great. It's been a great journey.
Oh, that's super exciting. And, definitely a very diverse background that you have. Congrats on all the successes. And for our listeners, Farelogix, we actually hosted Manish Nagpal in 2019. So okay, this is a great, great segue to talk a little bit more about, how much have changed, how much has transpired, a lot of change for you guys as a company, and kind of for you as a leader to go through, the so many changes and transformations. Definitely excited about that. Tell us a little bit more about, the Farelogix just in general, and then with your guys' merger with Excellia Group, how did that, impact the overall, just, from culture standpoint, from organization, and for you as a leader, what are the different strategies that you're deploying these days to make sure that, you preserve that kind of that startup mentality?
Sure. So, I mean, Farelogix, I think when I joined Farelogix, we were maybe 40, 50 people. We grew over the years to just around 300 people before the acquisition. Wow. So it was quite the growth, but we still managed to maintain that sense of culture, that sense of family that we had from the initial days. And I think that's been key in hiring talent, in retaining talent. People just like working here. It's a nice place to work. It's a fun place to work. We have a lot of smart people that are very dedicated to their jobs. And that you just see it. You see it in how everyone interacts with each other. You see it in the work that we produce. And I think after the merger, we're obviously a much larger company now, in the thousands of employees globally, but we've managed to still maintain that feeling of Farelogix here within Miami. So Miami will be one of our headquarters, one of the Excellia headquarters going forward. So we've retained the same office, although that is a dynamic situation given just office space in general and what companies are doing. But yeah, we managed to retain the same few. Most of the same team is here. We're still doing a lot of the same kick-ass work that we were doing before. So it's awesome. Yeah, it's great.
That's awesome. That's great. And, you know, I interview a lot of executives from different companies, different size. And we talk about that a lot, especially, you know, post-acquisition, pre-acquisition, the different strategies, especially if you go from, you know, through this hyper growth mode, you know, a lot of times for execs, especially becomes a challenge on how to really persevere that type of, or preserve that type of culture, that mentality that you had started out with. So that's pretty exciting. Speaking of cultures, in terms of building and fostering that culture of innovation, I'm pretty sure for you as a, you know, IT executive, that's at the forefront. That's, you know, something that's part of your strategy, part of the continuous, you know, overall leadership. And for you as a thought leader in this space, share with us any initiatives or strategies that really help you develop, foster and build that type of culture of innovation. Any practical experience or any practical strategies you can share with us? I would love to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. That's a great question. It's obviously something everyone wants to do. We implemented just company-wide this process called a DNA interview. So we have technical interviews with hiring managers, and then there's a panel comprised across the company that does what we call a DNA interview. Funny enough, we did have one person that thought this was an actual DNA test and they were a little freaked out. We had to calm them down. But what it really is we're just looking to see, are they going to fit? Because we're, you know, 150% our Farelogix CEO, Jim Davidson, he had this thing called run hard, and we would just run hard all the time. But we also like to have fun. We also like to hang out with each other. We just want to make sure, you know, who we're bringing on, they're going to be able to fit and they're going to be able to handle that. That was one thing we did across the company. The other thing I find that's important across the teams is never to stifle that the feeling that something is possible. So, you know, a lot of times people get kind of caught up in, this is something that's impossible. This is something that can't be done. And here's a white paper showing why it can't be done. And here's an article showing why it can't be done. I'm not interested in any of that. Let's figure out how to get it done, right? Because I'm sure if you go back to the 1800s, there were people saying, oh yeah, well, you know, cars or whatever we have, computer, that's impossible. That's never gonna happen, right? But look at us now. So it's the same thing. It's just getting people to get outside of their frame of mind of where they may be stuck in thinking something is not possible. And let's take a look at it. Let's see how we can make the impossible possible.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, the quote that you mentioned from you guys, CEO running hard, I think that's, you know, carries a lot of meaning to this, especially, you know, when you're starting out and building a particular product or service, it's important to hit the ground running and start executing. And then really kind of figure out the things on the fly in terms of what are the different improvements and stuff like that, because, you know, talk is cheap. It's, you know, it will all come together as you start executing. So that, you know, that makes sense. That definitely resonates from innovation standpoint.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure, you know, you read a lot, you research a lot, and, you know, from my perspective, I'm just very entrepreneurial in nature, you know, founded different startups, and I still a lot of my circles, you know, they startup founders, executives, you know, from that standpoint. So one question that I'm very passionate about, I talk to a lot of my guests on the podcast, is what are the different ideas and trends that really excite you these days? What do you think is the next big thing? What are you researching these days? It doesn't necessarily have to be about your company or your industry, just curious, you know, from your perspective.
So a couple of things. So in the industry in general, at least the travel industry, I think we're going to see a much larger push into data science and AI. There has been a push. We've done some continuous pricing implementations with a few carriers. So we're kind of seeing that, you know, carriers are kind of warming up to this period also, where, you know, there's not that much people flying, is also we've seen as a period where carriers can kind of experiment because there's not as much revenue on the line as there previously was when things were just gangbusters and everyone was flying. So I think we are going to see a definitive push into that space. And I mean, everyone's, you know, big data science, those are hot topics these days. Personally, I think usage of blockchain in general, I think that's something interesting. I'm sure you hear it. Everyone starts talking about it, but we haven't tapped the surface of what can be done with blockchain. So when we really start getting into some of the implementations, how this stuff works, there's a bright future in blockchain just across industries.
I love it. You know, you and I can probably just talk the rest of the episode about that, because crypto is something that I'm extremely passionate about. You know, I research that a lot. I invest in it, and it's definitely a groundbreaking, you know, just the overall, even methodology from that standpoint, just having that kind of the crypto as the exit from the traditional, you know, finance industry overall. I think that's pretty exciting just to experience that. And we've seen some crazy trends, you know, the last couple of weeks, how it's, you know, I think quadrupled in value just from Bitcoin perspective. It was super exciting just to watch that. So definitely resonate with kind of what you're talking about. You briefly mentioned something around, you know, the leverage of advanced tech, such as, you know, AI, machine learning, you know, as part of the innovation strategy. These are the buzzwords that, you know, very hot these days. And the concepts, you know, have been around for a very long time. It's just, I guess, we label them a little bit different these days. From your perspective, you know, talking about them, marketing, PR, it's great. But when it comes to actually the implementation of such technologies, is a completely different story. So for you as a tech executive, any insights or practical strategies on what to avoid or what actually to do when it comes to implementing and leveraging, you know, advanced technologies as part of your technology operations?
So I think what's important is to define a problem, right? So define a problem that you're trying to solve. And then we have talented data scientists that can go out and do data discovery. Getting access to data, doing data discovery, that's a large part of the journey, is to, you know, just prove out whether this is something that's even going to work, right? Or whether it makes sense, or maybe we discover something else along that journey. But I think clearly defining what it is, that problem that we're trying to solve, and then executing in that direction is, I think, a pretty practical strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. No, those are great examples. And thank you for sharing that. To switch topics a little bit, I want to talk something around that's for every executive, it's at the top of your mind 24/7, whether you are recruiting actively or, you know, indirectly, surrounding yourself with the top talent, building the team of winners under you and around you. So for you as a tech executive, I'm pretty sure, you know, candidates go through multiple rounds of interviews, technical assessments, and all of that great stuff. When the candidate gets in front of you, give us a glimpse of an interview with you. Do you keep your interviews pretty creative, pretty traditional? But more importantly, what do you look for in the responses when you talk to a candidate?
So what I like to look for, so we have our rounds of technical interviews, make sure, you know, they know what they're talking about. They know how the C++ works, what's a pointer, you know, basic stuff like that. We make sure they understand that. But what I really like to do, and I introduced this several years ago, is it's more of a problem solving style of interview, where we take a problem that's pretty abstract. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't even make any sense. And we ask the candidate, okay, what would you do in this situation? How would you solve this problem? And really what I'm looking for is I'm looking for someone that's not going to quit. So it could be a problem that's, you know, incredibly difficult, not necessarily expecting anyone to get to the solution, but how far are you going to go? So I can tell you a story from many years ago, probably over a decade at this point, where we had a guy with two people that came in for same interviews, just a tech support position at the university. One guy we asked him, and the problem we asked him was, there's a problem with the network card on one of the PCs. So what's the problem? You know, we had the guys, they go through and they say, oh, let me check my control panel, let me check the network settings, let me check the cable. And one guy finally said, why don't we just try reinstalling Windows, right? So he got all the way kind of to the end, and the last resort is, well, let's just reinstall Windows. The other guy, a few questions in, his response was, I don't know. And so I told him, well, assume that this is the, you know, the director of the center. So you really just can't say, I don't know. You got to figure this out. What are you going to do? I don't know. So That's what I'm looking for. Someone that's just going to go that extra mile and just keep their foot on the pedal to try and solve whatever the problem is.
Well, I love that story. I love those examples. At the end of the day, it's, you know, just be very resilient, and also taking you know, grabbing the bull by the horns, as we like to say. You know, don't wait for direction or an instruction, almost. Exactly. Like, you know, ask for, you know, for forgiveness and for permission. I think it's goes a long way when we talk about, you know, the different caliber of folks we want on our team, because when real problems start come arising, you want those people that, you know, will really kind of roll up the sleeves and actually help find the right solution for that.
100% agree. And I can tell you, our Farelogix CEO, again, one of his mantras was, don't be afraid to make mistakes. Just don't make the same mistake multiple times. But that, you know, I think that also was one of those, you know, you asked me about innovation. That's one of those fuels, right, for innovation, is you got to be prepared to take risks. And sometimes you make a mistake and take a risk.
Right. Absolutely. And kind of also building almost that culture that where everyone treats problems more as opportunities versus, you know, oh my God, we got this problem, what do we do now? Rather than, oh, okay, you know, this is happening right now. Let's take a look at what we can actually learn from that and make sure that this doesn't happen again and come up with various ways to, you know, resolve that. So I think that's, you know, exactly what you're talking about. That's pretty cool.
Exactly.
When it comes to, you know, attracting the top talent, to whether that's your peers or the teams under you, what are the different strategies that really help you kind of attract very niche, hard to find type of skill set for your teams?
So, I mean, for us, it's, again, for my teams, it's mostly C++. We have analysts also with very specialized knowledge in ATPCO. And that I can tell you is very just, it's a very close-knit community. It's very hard to find people. You just have to always keep looking, right? For C++, down here in South Florida, it is very difficult to find C++ talent. But we just kind of just go out there and recruit. And Tony, I know you know Tony, she does a great job helping find that talent. One thing when she came on board that we started doing was doing more recruiting fairs with the FIU, because they're so close to us.
Yeah.
And that did help quite a bit. We found a great amount of talented students that were looking for opportunities, internships that we could offer that then grow into full-time jobs, you know, after they graduate. So that's been, you asked me what's been probably one of our most successful recruiting strategies, has been one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that model works. You know, at the end of the day, it's also kind of you investing into the, you know, the early stage career professionals who, you know, they want to learn, they want to absorb everything, and they want to, you know, have that hunger and passion and energy to succeed. And I think those are the type of people that, you know, you want on your teams. So that's, you know, can definitely resonate. That's super exciting. In terms of kind of these days, based on the latest developments and the trends and the way the market is, what's your take on kind of the most in-demand skill set, you know, especially, you know, when it comes to technology? The reason I'm asking this question is because, you know, a lot of listeners on Ivy Podcast, a good portion is the early stage career professionals, and they continuously ask us this question, you know, when they listen to the episode, can you find out, you know, the, you know, that particular guest's perspective on where to invest in terms of the skill development?
So I would probably say data. That's one of the hottest areas right now. Everyone needs it. Everyone's looking at it. Data science, right? That's a great career track because it has so many different uses. So, I mean, we saw just even after, you know, the whole pandemic started, and we saw just airline tickets just, I mean, flatlined, right? Everything went down. We use data science internally to start looking at our operations, right? And how we could streamline our operations and how we could streamline our cloud costs and stuff. So, I mean, there's so many facets of use for data science, not just from building products that enable your customers, but also from introspection into the company. So, yeah.
That's absolutely, can definitely resonate and, you know, relate to that, because part of ProSource, we deal with that on a daily basis. And in terms of seeing the type of candidates, the type of skill set that's in high demand, data absolutely is, you know, one of the top trends out there. And I think, you know, it's only here to grow, only here to stay because of companies' demand to build, you know, very robust, predictive, actionable, you know, data modules. So I think that's, you know, that definitely makes sense. Nate, from standpoint of your sources of information and learning, share with us what do you use? What sites do you have bookmarked, or whether that's a Twitter profile that you follow? Share with us your sources of information.
So I'm very eclectic when it comes to information. I don't really have, I would say I have like individual sources that I always go back to. Probably I always start at Google and then just go from there. And then depending on kind of what I'm looking for, you typically will gravitate to somewhere that is kind of the repository of expertise, right, in a specific area. So you start looking up enough issues around SQL Server, you're going to end up at like SQLServerCentral.com, for example, where there's just a ton of information on those forums. I like to read through comments on these blog articles. So I'll go to, you know, like a SQL Server Central article where I'm researching, you know, what's the difference between these different query formats. And then you go down to the comments and you find, you know, all these people that they'll say, oh, well, you could do it this way and you could do it this way. And maybe the author updates the article, but there's a lot of information just, I guess, from various sources, right? Because it's not just one person, one individual, you're getting it from a community of enthusiasts, really.
Right. No, absolutely. And, you know, from comments perspective, that's always, you know, you find a completely different perspective, whether what the article is all about or alternative ways of doing things. So exactly. I can definitely resonate with, you know, actually, referring to some in the comment section. That's pretty exciting. And last but not least, what are you currently reading in terms of the book? And what one book that you always recommend to others, and why is that?
So I'll pass on a book that that I have not gotten to yet because my dog ate it. So I need to go get another copy of it. But it was highly recommended to me by a good friend of mine. It's and the way he explained it, it's something that we can all use in our daily lives. It's called The Information Diet. And basically, I think the whole premise of the book is every day we're just inundated with just information overload. Whatever you're getting in your email, whatever you're getting in your regular mail, whatever you get on your newsfeed, et cetera, et cetera. And how do you segment what's actually useful from what's not, right?
Oh, that's super cool. And for our listeners, we'll make the link, you know, to the title and author of the book available in the episode notes, so you guys can also check it out. Nate, thank you enough for your time today, for all the insights and great valuable strategies that you have shared with us. It was a very short and powerful conversation, at least for me, to, you know, learn quite a bit from you. So I thank you and look forward to staying in touch with you.
Yeah, great. Thanks, John. It's been a great time.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.